Good day, beloved. We're going to continue in Hebrews 11. This time we're just going to read one verse. The emphasis of our message today. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." God is. A young Christian in a school was called on an unbelieving professor who wanted to embarrass him, and he said to him, "You define God." He didn't believe in God. He picked on the Christian kid, said, "You define God." And the Christian kid got a little shaky, but he said, "God is." And he couldn't say anymore. But he need not say anymore. God is. Some people try to tell us that God does not exist. It's part of our imagination. But even that youngster understood that God is. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Earlier we were looking at the fact that God is able. At this session we're going to look at the fact that God is merciful. God is merciful. That's part of the attribute of God. He is merciful. And the Word of God tells us that it is of the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. For his mercies are new every morning, and his compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. Moses wrote in the law. This was in the second tables of the law. He wrote many things, but in Hebrews, in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, it says, verse 5 for connection. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, or the name of Jehovah. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaim, "The Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." Merciful and gracious. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. What is mercy? Mercy is God not giving to us what we deserve. It's a grace. Grace is God giving to us what we did not deserve. He gave us salvation. He gave us love. And he gave us all things richly to enjoy that which we did not deserve. But mercy is that God has withheld from us that which we deserve. For we deserve judgment. We deserve condemnation. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, hath begotten us again to a living hope. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. What is mercy? Mercy means to have pity. Pity. To have compassion. It is the outward manifestation of pity. And that was so much demonstrated in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy. Had it not been for the mercy of the Lord, you and I would not be here. We hear a lot of people ask, well, I want justice. You really don't want justice. Because justice is giving us what we deserve. That's justice. We want justice for others. We want mercy for ourselves. But God is merciful. And you and I are here because God is merciful. I started to quote a verse, a couple of verses. I want to read them because they're so important in the Christian experience, what we were and what we are because of the mercy of our God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which in times past," that's before conversion, "he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's our past. You and I. But God. God butted in. If that had just ended there, we would have been nowhere. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Rich in mercy. "For his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." You see, mercy and grace. God, who is rich in mercy, in that he did not give us what we deserve when we were heading to a lost eternity, when we were heading without God and without Christ in this world, children of wrath. Even as others. But God. But God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is merciful. Merciful. We see the mercy of God running throughout the scriptures. God not dealing with us as we deserve. Had it not been for his mercy, where would we have been, beloved? The mercy of God. You know, Jacob had some great points But he had some bad points as well. Jacob was one of those up and down guys. That supplanter, but the man of faith who understood the meaning of the birthright. You know, up and down. And Jacob was left alone with himself. Everyone gone because he was running from his brother Esau, coming back home. And then you know when you're by yourself, you have time to think. No distraction. Everyone is gone. And it says Jacob was left alone there in Genesis chapter 32. He was left alone. And Jacob came to this sober conclusion. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 9, he says, Jacob said, O God of my father, Abraham, and God of my father, Isaac, the Lord who said to me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth that thou hast shown unto thy servant. I don't deserve it. You know, when you come to that point, you understand the mercy of God. If you think that you're entitled, and if you think that you had it coming, then you don't know anything about the mercy of the Lord. Jacob says, I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies and of all the truth that thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with thy staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. I'm not worthy. I should have been destroyed. I should have been dead. I did a lot of crooked things in my life. I lived up to my name. I was a supplanter, a thief, and a liar. I deceived my father, and I told him I was Esau. But now he is coming to grips with who he really is. And when his father asked him, thou my son, he said, yeah, I'm Esau. And he had a lot of tears, a lot of heartaches because of that. But now God says, what is your name? As you remember when he struggled with that angel that night. What is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. I'm a supplanter. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. Not until you come to the end of yourself, come to the end, the realization who you are. God can deal with you and God can bless you. God said to him, thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with man. Who are you? I am not worthy of the least of your mercies. God had mercy on Jacob, and he recognized it, and he gave God the praise. Peter, he knew of God's mercy. Oh, the Lord had mercy on him. The Lord could have abandoned him because of what he did. The Lord could have cast him aside and says, you are no good. But the Lord had mercy on him. And now Peter, a man of God, full of the Holy Spirit, and he's writing in his epistle. This is what he writes. Blessed be God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Paul writes that God is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. Because God brought him in. God could have dealt with him. He made havoc of the church. He says God is rich in mercy. Now Peter is writing. God who could have abandoned him when he denied the Lord. He says God is abundant in mercy. It is the outward manifestation of pity. It feels sympathy. Sympathy for the ills of others. You feel for people. Yes, he did me wrong, but I'm not going to take that into account. God is abundant in mercy. I mentioned that so many feel that they're entitled. For all the things that happened to them, all the good things that happened to them, they had it coming. I am blessed because I work hard and you don't have anything because you are lazy. I could understand where you're coming from. A whole lot of people work hard and still not well off. So, you know. But it's because of God's mercies. Jeremiah the prophet, in his Lamentations, Lamentation chapter 3 in verse 22 says, it is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Oh yes, Israel really provoked the Lord, you know. Israel really provoked the Lord. They really did. In unbelief, in rebellion, going a whoring after other gods, of the mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And when I got up this morning, it is because of the mercies of the Lord. I did not deserve it. He gave me another day. They are new every morning. And this morning is no exception. Outward manifestation of pity. The Lord Jesus told the story of two men. Luke chapter 18, two men who went up into the temple to pray. One believed he deserved everything. Because he did everything right, he deserved everything. Not that guy there, he's a nothing. Two men went up into the temple to pray. We don't have a whole lot of time, so we're not going to read. But I'm going to take it that you understand this because you've read it over and over again. The Pharisee prayed with himself. He prayed himself. And he told God how good he was, how great he was. He did everything right, so he had the blessings coming. There was no favor. I did everything right. And then it was the turn of the publican to pray, the tax collector. And the tax collector stand, verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Like Jacob, he felt unworthy. He felt unworthy, like Jacob. Jacob said, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies. He would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Show me mercy. As when the blood was applied to the mercy seat. Change the mercy seat from a throne of judgment to a throne of mercy. Blood. Be propitious if you want. Propitious to me. Sinner. Jesus said, that man went to his house justified rather than the other. He went to his house justified rather than the other. The other was boasting. He said, that's good. And the Bible said, no, there's none good. He said, I'm a righteous man. I do all these things. No, there's none righteous. No, not one. The publican says, I'm no good. I'm not righteous. I'm just a sinner. The Bible says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Mercy. One of the things that you find, you know, one of those bittersweet stories you read is the book of Jonah. Bittersweet, because God had mercy on Nineveh, bitter because Jonah was upset. Jonah had no love for the Ninevites. He made that very clear. And for the second time, God had to send him because the first time, you know the story, what happened the first time. But the word came to him again, and he went, and he preached 8 words, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And God, the people repented. People repented, and God spared the city of Nineveh. You figure if you're an evangelist and you see God is saving souls, you would rejoice. Not Jonah. Let me read to you what Jonah's reaction to God's mercy. In Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1, after God spared the Ninevites because of the great revival and the great repentance that went on, it says that it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was upset with God. I mean, he was really, really upset. It displeased him exceedingly. He was mad. And he was very, I should have read this before, and he was very angry. Why? And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? In other words, that's the reason why I ran away. That's why I didn't want to go. This, you see, I know you do this. That's why I didn't want to go. Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, giving them what they did not deserve, and merciful, withholding the judgment which they really deserve. Merciful, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. I don't like it. You shouldn't have done it. That's why I didn't want to go in the first place. He is blaming God for being merciful and gracious. Do we do that? When we see others prosper, when we see God blessing others, are we getting upset because we don't think they should have it? We think God should come down in judgment on them. I wanted God's judgment to come down on them. Look at what he's blessing them. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord Jesus, you know, the Bible said we have to be more like Jesus. If we be like Jesus, if we follow him in his attitudes, follow him in his kindness and favor, we would be so much better Christians than we are. We pass judgment and we walk over people. They're in our way, and we walk over them. The Bible says we have not so learned Christ. That's not what he taught us. In Matthew, in chapter 9, somebody has spread a false rumor that Christians got to be tough and hard and put down those people. They're no good. Somebody spread that. We have not so learned Christ. They didn't get that from Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says, no, I have Luke here. No wonder. Okay. I'm going to get to it. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He wasn't judgmental. He wasn't angry with them. He said, oh, get up out of the street and go get a job. A lot of people need to do that, but that wasn't his attitude. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they were faint, tired, and hungry, and were scattered. They were hungry. Because they were faint and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Moved with compassion, mercy, pity. And he said to his disciples, we need more help. We need more help. There's a lot of work to be done, he told his disciples. Look at this. We need more help. Jesus said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. People need help out there. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. A lot of people are hurting out there. They need help. compassion. That's what the Lord taught us. Compassion. Pity. Mercy. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, a beautiful opening for this book. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Is more mercy needed, more compassion on behalf of God's people towards the lost? We need to show mercy. There's hostility out there with those who are supposed to be reaching the lost, who are supposed to be preaching the gospel. They are putting people down. They are condemning people instead of preaching Christ who can lift them up. We have not so learned Christ. Bless the Lord. It says, His mercies endureth forever. Who needs to repeat that? The redeemed. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. His mercy endureth forever. Jesus on his great sermon on the mount. And we have to close with this. The great sermon on the mount says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If I had time, I'd follow that up with the man who owed his master a whole lot of money, and he pleaded for mercy, and the master forgave his debt, and somebody owed him a few pennies, and he wanted to put him in jail for it. He wanted mercy for himself, but justice for somebody who just owed him a few pennies. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. Thanks for having us. It's good to be with you, beloved. Thanks for the privilege of sharing. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee. We thank thee for thy precious word. The entrance of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. We thank thee that whatsoever written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We thank that our God is able and our God is merciful and gracious. Help us to keep these things in mind as we interact with our fellow men, and we are to manifest the virtues of our blessed Lord, who said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for the privilege of remembering our blessed Redeemer in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, proclaiming his death until he comes. Thank you for giving us the privilege of studying thy word together. Watch over us now as we part. Thank you, Lord, for the meal that thou hast provided for our bodies. We ask thy blessing upon it, to the strengthening and the nourishing of our bodies, and bless those who labored in the kitchen to make it ready, and watch over and bless it now to our bodies, and remember those that are in need. We humbly pray as we ask these things and give you thanks in the wonderful name of thy beloved Son, our risen Lord and our glorified Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.